time now is 24 minutes to 12. We welcome into the studio 24 minutes to 1. Do you know, I made that mistake the other day, but I picked up on it almost immediately. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Susan Phoenix and Barbara Whiteside. Hello to the pair of you.
Hello. To you.
And Susan and Barbara have come in to tell us about a lovely event that's taking place in our area later in the year called The Energy Within. And it's a super event that you can get involved with if you possibly like it. And it's about sort of re-energising yourself, particularly at this time of year. And we'll talk about that in some detail in a moment. But let's establish your credentials, first of all, because you both have very interesting lives. Begin with you, Susan, if you don't mind. Yes.
Oh. Yeah. I prefer it when you do this.
Susan is a holistic psychologist, a past life regression expert, NLP therapist, an author, and a lot more besides. Where were you actually born, Susan? Where were you born to start with?
I was born in Peterborough in East Anglia.
Oh, nice part of the world. Yeah. And you trained as a British military nurse, didn't you?
I did.
Where did you do your training?
Aldershot and Germany.
Gosh.
And we were all told to stay away from the paratroopers, so we all got one. So that was the end of my nursing
they
career.
They were gorgeous, weren't they?
Yes.
You moved to Ireland, ultimately, and you were a youth worker, and you were very much involved with the deaf community. How did that come about?
It came about because I had a deaf neighbour, and she was profoundly deaf, and I didn't think her family were communicating with her. I later learnt they weren't, because they were told not to sign. So then she intrigued me, and she took me along to the local youth clubs for the deaf, etc., and got me really hooked.
Why did they tell her not to communicate by sign? What did they have against that at that time?
It's still very much the same in some areas, you'll find. The oral system was, if you sign, you won't talk. But of course, that's not true. It's a total fallacy. But again, the people with the ologies had convinced the parents and everybody else, and they grew up with children that they couldn't communicate with. So I came in then. I went off to train in psychology to help these poor children who were teenagers and were only talking to fellow teenagers, and you can imagine the messes they were getting in.
Yeah, well, you did sterling work there. As you say, you trained a psychologist specialising in deafness research, and you really got into it, and you made a profound change to a lot of people's lives in Ireland and beyond. And you also got into writing, because you wrote up a lot of the things that you believed in, one thing and another, and that sort of got you into writing, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I was writing very controversial. I'm a bit inclined to be a bit controversial, aren't I, Barbara? Don't wink at me. Of course I don't. But I was annoyed to see the injustice to deaf children and their parents, because they were given the wrong advice. So I did start writing some quite useful reports that are still out there somewhere in the community. And then, of course, when my husband was killed on the Mull of Kintyre in the military Chinook, it came in handy again, because, of course, it was one big controversy. And little did I know I would end up in another campaign for the reputation of the pilots.
Indeed, you've had such a remarkable life over the years. As we heard, you trained as a legitimate psychologist, and you did a lot of great work in Ireland with the deaf community and made a real difference. Your husband was a fascinating character in his own right. When he tragically died in that helicopter crash, what was his position at that time?
He was a chief superintendent in charge of counter-terrorism in Belfast, and that was at the height of the Troubles.
What a job to have at that time. I mean, you were sort of living away from that. I mean, you didn't have much dealings with his work, but he was in that highly stressed environment. How often did you see him?
I saw him enough. I probably see more of him now that he's passed than I do. But he brought home many of his stressed colleagues, because, as you can imagine, he was working with the counter-terrorism, army, military, SAS.
You were on a farm, weren't you?
We had a small holding, so we had dogs and
pigs. A bit more relaxing then, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Now, I don't want to dwell too much on this crash, but it did have a profound effect on you. And of course, it was a scandal, really. He died in a helicopter crash on the Mull of Kintyre in 1994. And that led you to investigate it, and you wrote a book which was very, very popular at the time called Phoenix. Tell me a bit about that book, because you co-wrote that book, didn't you?
I did. I co-wrote it with Jack Holland, who has since passed on too. We have these little ideas of Jack and Ian sitting on a cloud discussing the troubles in Northern Ireland, because Jack came from the other side of the community. But I forgot what the question was. Yes. He actually died doing what he wanted to do, but he wanted to change things. So then when he went, I decided I had to try and complete his work by saying, hey, British government, you've got this wrong. Listen, we're putting stress. We're not helping the people that are doing the work. So all of that then started me looking at stress in the military.
But the book you wrote off the back of that tragedy, called Phoenix, Policing the Shadows, with Jack Holland, who, as you mentioned, has now passed on, was very popular. It became a bestseller, didn't it?
It did, and it's still selling on Kindle, on Amazon, because I updated it in 2000. 2012 to say what a mess the British government had eventually made, and we have lots of really good people. Another name, if people are interested in that, is David Hill, who has written a book about the Chinook crash and many more MOD crashes, showing the disaster, the fiascos continue, you know?
Well, as you mentioned, the loss of your husband and also your parents relatively the same time led you to have a little bit of sort of a personal crisis, if I can use that phrase. And you began to investigate complementary therapies. And we must stress, you took this from the standpoint of a conventional background person. I mean, you weren't an airy-fairy person at all, were you?
I'm still not, you know.
No, but you started to look at the treatment of depression and complementary therapies. And in fact, you had a profound life move because you moved to Europe, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I decided there was no point in my staying there because people are so wonderful when there has been a bereavement. People wanted to help you and they can't. You have to get on and sort out what's going on inside you. And the doctors were offering drugs and all kinds of things, and I didn't want to do that either. So I looked, as you say, worldwide, complementary therapies for depression and bereavement. And I met some wonderful people. That's sort of then 20 odd years later, I met this wonderful lady who has worked in the same kind of areas, has also been in stress. But yes, what I did do was almost have a nervous breakdown, as you say. I was suicidal. I'm quite happy to say that. I wanted to follow my husband's beautiful soul.
Well, thankfully, you didn't go down that route, because your life has blossomed even more since then. And you wrote a lovely book called Out of the Shadows, A Journey Back from Grief, which discusses sort of ancient healing techniques and the power of the mind, the body and the soul. And you threw yourself into this, didn't you?
Yes, I do that with everything, of course. I am a bit of a campaigner, but I wanted the science behind it. And I now know there is a lot of science behind it. When people say it's namby-pamby, ooh, it's dangerous, ooh, we see societal, what's it called, behavioural modification that has stopped people really researching since the old days of the gypsy crossing your palm with silver and all of this and the crystal balls. Yes, they're still there. But there are a lot of very sound, scientifically based theories and knowledge.
This is the problem, because people bulk it all together, all these alternate treatments and therapies and one thing and another. Some of them have some credibility, some of them have no credibility at all, and people dismiss all of it out of hand, don't they?
Exactly. And it's mostly fear. It's fear of the fear. They've heard of somebody that went to somebody that had a terrible experience. Well, of course, we all have those experiences, but we're about teaching people to trust their own intuition. If you go into someone and you feel they're not right, well, then they're not right. And we have been told, unless you've got an ology, you're not allowed to have any thoughts for yourself. But of course we know, instinctively we know, coming into this room today, you've a lovely energy. The wonderful people out in your, whatever that room is called.
Well, I tell you, his aftershave helps with Martin. you took this so seriously. I mean, you trained with Dr. Brian Weiss in New York, and subsequently you've hosted lots of workshops. I mean, you've put a lot into this, haven't you? Travel around talking to people, not just in this country.
No, in Spain and France, America, Italy. And the more I've looked, the more I realise there is so much more to learn. And I also know there is so much out there to help us if it's allowed. We don't need the drink and the drugs, well, apart from very good wine and champagne, as you know. Yeah. We just need to be back in touch with ourselves. We may need a little bit of help, which is what Barbara and I are about now. We're trying to help people to look. We're not trying to say to people, don't use that therapist or this therapist. We're trying to say, you will be able to choose the right therapist in your area. If you listen to us for a day, and we'll inspire you to know that you have everything within you, but you might just need a little bit of help, and we'll steer you in the right direction.
Well, let's say a proper hello to Barbara. Hello, Barbara. Thank you for coming in today.
Hello. Thank you for
As Susan mentioned, you've become friends in recent years. How did you initially meet in the first place?
I was in a little shop in Weymouth, and it was a rainy Sunday afternoon, I think, and nothing much happening. Friends of mine had the shop, and I was just popping in there to do the odd tarot read. And Susan blustered through the door. It was a rainy, horrible day, and said, "Can I have a tarot reading, please?" I didn't know who she was. "Yes, come on up, let's have it." And then I read for her. I can be quite forthright when I read, so, you know, that's how it is. And then afterwards, Susan told me who she was, what she was about, and we sort of stayed in contact after that, briefly. And then we spoke about, Susan does the most amazing thing with an aura camera. So you can see somebody's aura, see where they are, see, you know, what their energies are, what their strengths, their weaknesses are. So I set up an aura evening down at the shop, and the rest is history. We got chatting after that, and it became very obvious for the people I was reading for, and I also do energy healing massage, and rebalancing of chakras and auras. I'll explain about those in a bit. That there are people out there that really need a little bit more. You know, they're not getting what they need from prescription drugs. They're not getting what they need just from everyday So we set about setting up these workshops to try and get people back on helping themselves, finding it within themselves to try and get back on track.
Tell me a bit about your background. Now, I'm sure you can't match Susan's extraordinary story the years. But before you ever got into tarot reading and this side of things, what have you been doing with your life?
I am actually from a manufacturing background. I'm my title would be Material and Logistics Global Manager.
How dull.
Oh, I don't know. I find it quite fun. so dealing with many people all over the world, making sure they've got material in place, making sure their stock is correct, all of those things. But from a very early age, it was very obvious that something else was going on. I'd be sitting on the sofa talking to my friend, having a cup of tea, and the sofa would go down next to me. And a lot of people say they feel very cold when spirit is about. I don't. I get very hot. I break out in sweat. It's just like, oh, sorry, ladies perspire. But the energy is so very, very warm. And I was experiencing this a lot. And I was seeing colours around people's heads. Now, that, when you're quite young, is very, very strange. And society tells you there's something wrong.
Yeah, what do you say to people who must say that you're utterly deluded and you're imagining all this?
I've had too many things happen to me for it to be anything other than actually real.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned tarot, and we had a message from one of our listeners earlier on saying that tarot reading is dangerous, and you must hear that as well, because there are negative connotations with tarot reading. What do you say to those criticisms?
What do I say to that? Yes, I agree. Tarot cards in the wrong hands are dangerous. Driving a fast car in the wrong hands is dangerous. Thank you to Martin. But the thing with tarot cards is you've got to be very careful when you are interpreting what you read. I give the tarot cards to people. They shuffle them. They put their energy. I'm an energy reader, really. I think that's what we probably class it as. But people like to see the pictures. So they shuffle the cards. They put their energy in there and I can read what their energy tells me from the cards. There are an awful lot of people who will give out information, give out messages, and you've got to be very careful how you put those messages across, because somebody could react to those in the wrong way.
Now, I've got two lovely listeners, the old Trouts, called Angela and Stephanie. That's what they call themselves. They're not. They're actually delightful. But they are total cynics, and they hate this sort of thing, and they think it all should be banned, and it's terrible. Okay. You must meet people like that who say, you're just wasting people's time, you're taking advantage of them. I mean, what do you do with criticisms like that?
Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. You will never, ever persuade everybody all at once, and I'm not here to persuade. I get people coming to me. I've read for many people all over the world. I've read for an American diplomat. I've read for somebody in Sweden, Spain. Oh, the list goes on. I could sit here for days. I get people coming to me from all over the world. I read online, I read by the phone, and I read one-to-one. Quite a lot of the time they have a specific problem and they'd like to know how they should address it, how they should cope with it. It just stops you, pulls you back, and makes you look at the whole picture, as in the cards. It's the whole picture. When you get yourself into a situation, it's very difficult to see other alternatives. If you stop, pull back, and somebody else is saying to you, right, so this is happening, that's happening, we've got this going on in the background, have you stopped and thought about this?
Shouldn't you just do conventional counselling and forget the cards?
The cards very much help. The cards very much help, because they will tell you what's coming up in the next few months. They will tell you, yes, it almost is conventional counselling, but you've got that little bit of vision coming up.
I've always liked tarot cards because of the Jane Seymour character, Solitaire, in Live and Let Die, because she was absolutely lovely. Now, you also, as you mentioned, do energy healing massage. Tell me about that.
I've always been able to see, again, this goes back to my childhood, I've always been able to see things, and that was quite scary in the early days. You think, something not quite right here. And you do worry about these things.
What sort of things were you seeing?
I can see colours around people's head. I can see upset. I can see depression. I can see problems physical. And not just because somebody's limping down the road and you go, oh, they've got a bad leg. I can see things. Not all the time, but when it's very, very necessary, it's there. And I always started out with traditional massage, and it became very obvious very quickly when I learned how to do that, that I was seeing problems. Somebody would say to me, I've got a very bad back. I had a gentleman a couple of weeks ago, I've got very bad sciatica. I've been putting my Voltarol on there at the bottom of my back, and I had a good look at him, and I said, there, and pressed just under his bottom cheek, and he nearly shot through the roof.
I bet he did.
She likes doing that.
But it was another area entirely.
But it was a completely different area to where he was feeling the pain. It was referred pain.
I see. You also mentioned the chakras, and this is something I never really understood, but apparently you rebalance and revitalise them. In very simple terms, what are chakras and what do you do?
They are energy centres of the body. All of us, right down to cellular level, are energy. And that is a scientific fact. And it is now known scientifically, the Japanese scientists now have been able to identify and photograph your auras and your chakras, and that's where we get it from, and they're proving it now. You have 7 energy centres in the body, which run from the base, between your legs, right the way up to the top of your head. Now, each of those has a different area that it controls and looks after. And when you're all balanced, when you're feeling absolutely wonderful, everything's wonderful, they are all perfectly balanced and you're working an optimum engine. But when you get one or two of them going out or something comes in, stress particularly throws out your solar plexus in your stomach area. A lot of people with stress, anxiety, will have IBS. They'll have back problems. And it's all on a meridian right the way up, round through. And it affects everything. It just knocks everything out of balance. So working with people who have chakras that are out of balance would be massage, to try and alleviate, try and bring down the pain, to alleviate anxiety and stress. And also we use meditation just to take people down and just chill themselves for a bit.
Okay, well, the two of you are joining forces, as you have done before, for this special event, which is actually not coming up till May, so it's a little way off. It's called, where is it? I've lost it here.
The Energy Within.
Yes, it's in May. It's a new workshop together. Your focus, I understand, is for stress relief, isn't it, Susan? Because you mentioned antidepressants early on. You're dead against drug use, aren't you? That's one of your big tenets.
I am dead against indiscriminate use of antidepressants. Yeah. And I think I've met so many people that say, oh, I've been told I have to be on these for the rest of my life. And of course, they're zombies and they don't even know they're zombies. So there is always another way. They are a short term, the SSRIs, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors that are being dished out like sweeties these days. They don't work on the long term. They turn people into either paranoid or depressed, suicidal people. So they're only meant for short term help with something like cognitive behavioral therapy, counselling help, our kind of help. But what I was going to say was this society, all the questions that you've been asked are because society has behaviour modified people to not believe, because we have to take charge of ourselves. So we're about showing people you can take charge of yourselves again. You are allowed to say to the doctor, actually, I feel like this. No, I don't need a tablet, but can you refer me to somebody who will help me? As you say, counselling. But what Barbara does with her chakra balancing is really the modern, they call it life coaching these days, but they're doing it without all the special energies. And you will know when you're looking for a therapist if they're using special therapy. If you've had a massage by someone who is tuning in the energy from the outside universe, it's all the electromagnetic field of us and the world, then you'll know you've had a special massage, okay. Not just hands-on.
Well, we're running short of time, so let's talk about this special event, The Energy Within, which is taking place in May. It's at the Hilton Doubletree Hotel in Bristol on Redcliffe Way. It's a whole day from 10 through till 5. Mm-hmm. What's actually happening on the day?
We have meditation, we have regression. So anybody who's interested in going back and seeing what their past lives were. We have interactive tarot readings so that people can learn to read other people's energies, with or without the cards. You must experience yourself when you walk into a room and you think, oh, I don't quite like it in here, and there's somebody who's maybe not in a good place. That is them giving out energy, and we're going to show people how to protect themselves from that so that they don't get the stress and anxiety from that. That's really important, and certainly in a business point of view as well. We're going to be helping them to find themselves, helping them to rebalance themselves and get themselves back in control. It's about self-empowering. It's about the self. It's about you can fix you. I had a nervous breakdown when I was 24. So I know what Susan said, and I was on the pills and potions for about 2 years. Having had all the experiences I'd had before, the pills and potions completely numbed me. I saw nothing, I could do nothing. And I knew I had to get off the tablets. And that, having personal experience, is really, really important to me.
What do you bring to the day yourself, Susan? What's your role on the day?
Well, because I'm the doctor of psychology, if we have anybody that really cracks up with
us.
But I do the regression therapy. We do everything together, actually. But the regression therapy often explains if you have an ailment in this life that the medics have not been able to cure for you. For instance, we were talking about stomach problems or whatever, or all kinds of psychiatric illnesses. They may well have come from another life with you. Your soul comes into this body and into this place called Earth to learn even more. And if you haven't learned the lessons in previous lives, you can do it now.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating event. It's called The Energy Within. It's taking place on Saturday the 12th of May at the Hilton Doubletree Hotel in Redcliffe in Bristol. They can find out more details, people listening now, if they want to, via your website, can't they, Susan, which is susanphoenix.com. That would be the best stop. Or if you're interested in Barbara, it's barbarawhiteside.co.uk. Thank you so much for taking the trouble for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Nice to see you again.
And you too. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.